Hello, strangers. Hello, people who are not strangers. If you are gay, please make some noise. Welcome to Endocrine Biohacking 101. I am your host, Strange Lady with her name in regex. Today, we're going to be talking about the socio-political context of why we do drugs. We're going to be talking about where to get drugs, how to do drugs, and if you're really lucky, how to make drugs and how cool drugs are. This will probably be the quick version. I have a much longer version where I spend a lot of time talking about how bad politicians are. We're going to get the short version of that. My lawyer has advised me that I do need to cut some of this content from the final thing. So if you're looking at the live version, then that's great. If not, you're going to have a few slides out. Very important. I might have spoken to one, but I am not a lawyer, and I am not a doctor. So what I actually am is a hacker. I do instant response in my kind of, you know, in my work life. But that gives me a really good concept of how to fix things in general. Got a little bit of feedback. How to fix things makes me kind of, you know, arrogant enough to think that I can actually talk to you for 30 minutes about how you should all do drugs. So this talk comes in two parts, like I've said. One where I call a bunch of people mean words, against the better advice of everyone around me. Number two, where I explain how to access safe and effective hormone care so that the people in part one get very angry. So, let's swing that away and see if that changes anything. I should also mention, if you want to have your phones handy, please feel free. There are going to be QR codes throughout this. This is an interactive presentation. Less so about actually you joining in and more about I'm going to put lots of links to lots of websites where you can get drugs. So, because this is the short version, obviously we have here Keir Starmer, boo, Rishi Sunak, boo. For those of you who don't know, I've got kind of like a red and a blue theme going on there. The yellow is not a Liberal Democrat representative. That is a noted transphobe and psychologist Ray Blanchard. But he is a chaser, so I guess he kind of fits in the Lib Dem category. Finally, on the far right, quite fittingly, is Hillary Cass. So she is our latest addition to the pile of people who can't go 5 minutes without bursting a vein over trans people living their lives. The short version about why these people are all bad. Trans healthcare has a minimum wait of 27 months in England. It's a little bit less in Wales and Scotland because we have our stuff together a little bit more. But that's more than 2 years. And in London, for some places, it is over 20 years. At this point, some people will fundamentally never see care under the NHS for being trans. Children have absolutely no options at this stage anymore. Very recently, all private prescriptions for hormone blockers have been stopped for 3 months under an emergency piece of legislation that was passed yesterday. Very boo. And obviously, it's been proven safe for decades, but you know, this is all political, and this is why Rishi and Keir are there, because the both of them have made plenty of statements about how they'd like to keep it that way. It wasn't a very positive introduction to the talk, but I can fix it, I promise. Let's reframe things. We're going to flip the script from what cis people have said about us to what trans people are saying to each other in these trying times. So, fundamentally, do not let anyone tell you what to do with your body because it is your choice. That's straightforward 101 stuff. As soon as you get into the trans scene, you know, bodily autonomy is incredibly important, not just for us, but for everyone. Don't give in to despair either. I know we've talked a lot about how everyone's out to get us, but actually, you're about to find out, there's a whole lot of community work going on that's fantastic. And there's actually, how many trans villages do we have at EMF? Like, a lot right now?
Many.
So yeah, go adventuring and talk to some other villages. You'll find out some cool things. I am alive today, because a brown trans woman in my university taught me that you can literally just buy drugs off the internet and no one can stop you. No, the police will not come bursting in your window. Suella Braverman does not have like a flying wing of people who come in with batons and start beating you every time you take estrogen. So, you know, it's community that's the reason why we're still around. So, stop thinking that someone else is going to come save you. Come build your own community or join ones that already exist. Now let's go do some drugs. I'm gonna go so far over if we keep doing tracks for every bit that I've done, because I've got like one bit per slide average. So I got like 30 minutes for the whole talk, just to fuck up the plans of every politician, every NHS saboteur, and, you know, every washed up psychologist. Well, we're gonna mess their plans up today. So how complicated is transition? Is it really specialist care? And what horrifying chemical concoctions could we formulate in a secret underground bioweapons laboratory to defy the will of God? This is the NHS guide right here. Well, I say, you know, I've put it on the back of a note for you. This is what happens if you go to a really nice GP who does the most that they can to help you. So basically, they'll give you the minimum of everything because that's safe. And finasteride does not block testosterone. So if they tell you that finasteride is a blocker, they're lying to you. But this is what happens. So if you are a trans woman, you go to the GP. If they're nice, they'll give you a prescription for oral estradiol valerate and finasteride. That is their harm reduction scheme, or their 1 month trial. If you're a man and, you know, trans man, you go to the GP, they'll say, oh, testosterone's too scary, can't type that. If it's like a cis man who says he's got erectile dysfunction, they'll just throw it at you, but, you know, is what it is. So this is not particularly specialist, because this is basically the playbook for everyone. Sometimes you get some nicer GPs and, you know, they'll throw a little bit extra on the side, but most of the time not. You'll have to wait till the hospital or specialist care, gender clinic, before you can get a real dose that's not just like horrendously homeopathic from the GIC, and that's how you start testosterone. You need to go through a GIC for that because they're like super dangerous. If you're not a binary trans woman or a binary trans man, or you tell them that you're not one of those things, you're a bit stuffed until you hit the GIC. But I can also make half-assed templates. So, not only, and this did not take a lot of work, not only can you just like, you know, start with a test dose of 2 milligrams, I don't recommend that, there's no point, just start on the 4. But not only can you, you know, start small and go big, and you can access sepropterone acetate, which is a very, very cheap and very good anti-androgen, less good than injections, but that's okay. Lots of people don't like injections. You know, your plan could be more nuanced, but we have these, you know, fundamental guides. How much TGL you need, how much estrogen you need. These are safe, these are well tried. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people have done this before. Now, we also have non-binary options. Yay! Now, you can have testosterone as a trans woman. Some people have lower libido that makes them sad. You can get a little bit of testosterone. You can apply that topically. Really good for you. Then you also have GnRHAs. Those are basically better anti-androgens than your pill forms. Fantastic stuff. You have SERMs. This will be interesting for the non-binary people in the room who do not want breast growth but do otherwise want feminization, or for anyone who has a estrogen-sensitive cancer, which they don't seem to tell you about until you get really specialist. But you can just buy it. It's tamoxifen. And then, you can mix and match with your estrogens, and you can also have progesterone. There's a study that has just been finished, pilot study in Wales, on how progesterone is safe. They're now asking for a full study across the United Kingdom to actually trial it for prescription. So we already know it's safe, it just needs to go through the hoops. Now, you can, in fact, just take the red pill and see how deep the rabbit hole goes. Now, I don't know if you've seen all of the matrices or not. Is it matrices? It's matrices. You can also take the blue pill and get the same result. Because if you were listening to The Matrix in the first place, you know that the choice was an illusion. So just go on the internet and buy some stuff, honestly, at this point. Under the law, it is not illegal for you to purchase the vast majority of drugs here. So to get your estrogens, to get your anti-androgens, that is legal. It is illegal for a British pharmaceutical provider to sell it to you without you providing them a prescription. So you can just go to an overseas provider, because they don't care if the UK say, hi, this is illegal, because it's not for them, and it's not for you either. Now, people wonder about testosterone on this. Testosterone is a Class C Schedule 4 Part 2 drug. That means you're allowed to possess it for personal use, and it also means that basically it's kind of the equivalent to estrogen, and people are basically fear-mongering about this. So if you can find testosterone online, you're not going to get stopped by like the big scary customs police. They're not going to like break down your door. Promise. Actually, I shouldn't promise that. Just in case Suella Braverman gets some ideas. And obviously, if you're uncomfortable with DIY, obviously there is the option of talking to a private GP. I don't advise that, though. So you have a couple options here. You have gender GP, who are the worst of the worst. You have other private GPs, who, whatever. And then you have DIY here. So the advantages of going private are that you can get signatures if you want surgeries. Fantastic, you know. You can get those much quicker than if you had to be on a public waitlist with the NHS. And, you know, always put yourself on the NHS waitlist, okay? Two reasons. One, tells the government they need to give more resources to trans healthcare because the numbers are huge. And two, as soon as you're through to the NHS, all of your prescription costs get way cheaper. You know, if you're Welsh, they're free. So what I say about private doctors is that what you're doing is you're outsourcing the responsibility for risk, right? But you're stuck with the consequences. If a doctor messes it up, and most of them, you know, they're qualified, but gender GP slightly less so. They all use AI now. They're a grift scam. They're not actually doctors. But if something goes wrong, it's still you who's holding the bag for that. If, you know, if they mess up your endocrine care, all they can say is sorry. It doesn't make a difference. So take some initiative, take stock in your own healthcare, and just read a little, because I promise the bar to entry is not that high. Now, let's do some visualizations. If you want to go to my community guide that we had earlier, this is exactly how you do it. Now, I've got some QR codes there. Those QR codes go to a provider. Other providers are, in fact, available. I'll just go back there for you. If you want to play it safe, you can just take one of those estrofems, but honestly, just go for it. Go for the two. That's where most people end up. And a quarter of that sipratropium acetate pill, very important. Don't overdo it on the Cipro. So if you want to shop around a little, I am now going to switch QR. You can go to this one here. Now this is a market or just an aggregator. This will show you lots of different providers for lots of different types of hormone. Unfortunately, I don't believe they do testosterone, as you can see there. Testosterone is something that a lot of providers will say that's too scary for us to prescribe. People will have a moral panic about it. But there is a community that really, really loves testosterone that aren't trans. And as you may be able to tell, those are bodybuilders. So, something to bear in mind, bodybuilders are actually biohackers too. They're in the same boat as us. They have goals that they want to achieve, whether they're, you know, men or women in the in the bodybuilding scene. You know, they have stuff that they take and it's gender affirming for them, or sometimes they just want to be yoked. So shout out to bodybuilders. I am not a testosterone sommelier, so to speak, so I can't really guarantee the efficacy of testosterone from these websites, but I do know that they are live and they exist at time of writing this, which is, you know, past week or so. What I would suggest, if you do want to engage with these providers, is you talk to other people, other trans masks in your community, in the DIY community, if you can find it, and make sure they have a good reputation. Because we don't have the luxury of chromatography to test every single batch of everything we get in. A lot of the time, we just have to, you know, do with what we can and hope that it's safe. And for the vast majority of people, yes, it is. But always check. So, now you know how to get your drugs, and you know that they're broadly safe, from what I've said, and you know that they're mostly legal for you to get them, it would be pretty irresponsible to just leave you with that as a 101. So welcome to 201, where we talk about levels. Because there's no point in just, like, wolfing down pill after pill of estradiol and then just, like, you know, wondering why your mood swings are so bad. So here are NHS guideline levels. Now, the estradiol level up there is a minimum. I have put the British numbers on the left, and the American and international numbers are on the right in not bold. So, picograms, nanograms, moles, liters, all the measurements should be fairly straightforward for you there. Now, the thing is, this isn't really that complicated, it's just published somewhere. Now, a GP and most GIC endocrinologists will literally just read this off of a sheet that gets printed off when your blood works come back. It will say what your level is, and right next to it in brackets, it'll say your target level is that, provided that they put you down as the right sex for your actual tests. But if they don't, then you have those references. If you want to shop around with what kind of estrogen you're giving yourself for the trans femmes here, then you've got some QR codes. If I've got my left and rights the right way around, Trans Femme Science is a QR code on the right. Now, they produce that chart there, which tells you what different types of estrogen are equivalent to each other. Taking a pill goes through your liver, whereas doing things like sublingual, just under your tongue, or transdermal, which is patches, or injections, will all have different effects on you. They'll have different absorption rates, so to speak, to simplify. And on the left is a DIY HRT wiki. Now, that is a really popular resource for how to access DIY meds and some things to consider beyond just what I'm telling you here. For trans masks, again, DIY HRT wiki, slightly different page, obviously, because we're talking about testosterone. And I've pulled a study from Canada here, just telling you what the average doses are for a trans man. Now, I've done some numbers here. I have dyscalculia, so you're all welcome. This was a Herculean task for me. Androgel in the Americas is Testogel in the United Kingdom equivalent. And they have the same concentration of 1.5 grams per pump of the gel, which has 16.2 milligrams per gram, you can tell I'm reading the notes, of testosterone per pump. So, per gram. So each pump is 20.25 milligrams of testosterone. And then by the amount that people are taking there by gram, you are giving yourself between 81 and 162 milligrams of testosterone. So those are the numbers for the masks. Now, stopgap services and testing, it's very important that you do get yourself tested because, you know, like I said, you can take pills and you can read the guidance. The guidance will say, you know, 4 milligrams equals this amount of estrogen. That's not always the case. Everyone's a little bit different, and some people have some genetic stuff going on that, wow. You know, some people are okay with monotherapy, and some people really aren't. So find a provider. You've got people like Medichex and Randox are well known in the UK. But also you have, like, I'm not sure if Dean Street still do testing. They definitely used to. They still do. Very good. And then people on there. Please ignore Gender GP. The website says that they're okay to use. They are not. And then supplier testing, also important. This is for trans firms again. Trans masculine resources are a bit fewer and further between, but that's also because I don't talk to as many trans masks considering. I try my best. I have a lovely boyfriend in the crowd. But supplier testing is important. This website goes to the chromatography results for vast majority of drugs. If you're getting injectables, really good to know that it's pure, it doesn't have contaminants in it, and that it is the actual concentration that it says it is. And then we also have some useful resources here. I say useful resources. This is a meta list that I've compiled with all of my friends in the trans tech tent. We fix people's tech for free, but also we realized that biohacking was pretty important too. So if you wanna have a little look, I do have to plug my own org. And that's about it, but there is more. While we're on the subject of doing hormones for ourselves, there is far more to biohacking than just hormones. And people have done some really cool stuff, like snorting ketamine with progesterone. I say that on a serious note, people like this have actually been pushing the science for trans feminine and trans masculine people by just testing stuff and seeing what works. Before it was ketamine and progesterone, it was just progesterone. And that's community science, is how people realize that, yeah, actually we do deserve to have the same hormone profile as a cis woman. And it does help. And then you've got, you know, trans women can lactate, which surprises no one with a biology degree, but we figured out how to make it actually happen. So that's great too. There's way more to biohacking than just, you know, popping a pill. And even more than popping pills. Thank you very much. I have been Strange Lady with her name in regex. If you want to learn more about the organization that I run, then there's Trans Tech Tent there. And if you want to join the community, only if you're trans, then you're welcome to come along to our Discord. Thank you all very much.